Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the You Up podcast. I am coming to you, as I am every week, from the road, in a car, generally in transit. This week, I am in Los Angeles. It is the morning still, I guess. No, I think we're in the afternoon. I've been up since 6 a.m., and it's already been a long day. Did a whole radio show, and then I went and did some voiceover, because I'm the voice, big announcement, of Bravo TV's reboot of the Blind Date series. Blind Date was a dating show that was on in the early 2000s. I used to love watching it. It featured like a bunch of cartoons. It's like pop-up video for dating shows. And it would like make commentary with cartoons and like stuff about the dates and make fun of the dates. It would always have a guy being like, awkward moment in 3, 2, 1. And then someone would be like, fart or whatever. And so I'm the voice of that show. And with me today are my two friends, Andrew Collin and Emil Joachim, who you know from last week's episode. Yeah. Dude, was that last week that you were... No, 2 weeks ago, Emil was on. So if you listen to the podcast regularly, you know Emil. He's been on the podcast twice already. This is his third appearance. And we're driving down now. They just came in with me to my voiceover recording for Blind Date and wrote jokes with me as I recorded. And Emil, how was that experience for you?
It was great. It was super cool. They had really nice water. Loved it.
Yeah, it was... You go into these, like, recording studio places, and they have these little bungalows where you go, and there's a sound engineer, and then you go in a private booth, and you read voiceover, and then they... And everyone talks in, like, sweet, like, dulcet tones. Like, it's so calming there. I felt like I was walking into a spa. Andrew, what was it like for you?
You know, like how Tom Petty used to record. I just felt loose in there, back to my Florida roots, like Petty.
And were you working or were recording anything?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but I stepped out for a minute and recorded my first EP, ATC Takes Over LA X.
Oh, whoa. So ATC being you, Andrew, Todd Collin, is that right? Ticklecock Collin. Sorry. What is that?
It's on his birth certificate as Ticklecock Collin.
Yeah, he goes by a bunch of names, but ATC Takes On LAX.
Yeah.
Okay, and now this is a rap album?
It's rap, folk.
Okay, can you, I hear there's like the first track is about Terminal B.
It is.
Yeah, and can you give us a little sample of that, a little freestyle?
Sure. You might see me in Terminal B. Hanging out with ATC. I'm talking about me. That's me. Not in Terminal C.
Wait a second. Okay. Great, great track, by the way. Thank you for giving us that sneak preview.
People love rappers with southern accents. I heard that's like the new in.
I mean, it is. He's really doing the Old Town Road kind of vibe. I thought it was a rap album, but apparently it took a big country turn. The only hang up I have about those lyrics is that you're hanging out with ATC, but you are ATC, so you're hanging out with yourself?
Well, I covered that in the next line. I said,
it's just me with me.
Yeah, it's me with me. Sometimes you're just hanging out with yourself, and that's enough. And that's what I want to get across. Because when you're at the airport and you're alone, that could be the loneliest place on earth. But when you're with yourself, that's all you need. And Starbucks or Chick-fil-A. That's all you need, really.
I really love that this voice is still going, too. Like, even when you describe the songs. What were you saying?
It's a pro-public masturbation song that Andrew's trying to push. He said Chick-fil-A, Starbucks. He's just trying to push that it's, like, okay if you see him out in public just jerking it. He's like, guys, it's cool. It's self-love.
That's what he's really talking about. He's talking about him being with himself sexually.
It's open to interpretation.
As much music is. Thank you, Andrew Collin. So, yeah, we had we're in LA. Andrew's staying at an Airbnb by himself. Really, like, stepping up in the world. You used to be crashing on couches. What made you make this decision to really, like, get your own place?
You pay me, and it finally accumulated just enough for me to have shelter.
Great answer. Great answer. Have you had to, like, are you staying with someone or is it your own pad?
It's my own pad. It's kind of in a place that shakes a lot because it's underneath a highway and it scares me. And but overall, I think, you know, me and the bed bugs are hanging out.
There's no bed bugs. Don't even say that. There are now, he says. You once called me because you thought that you gave me bed bugs. Do you remember that day?
Dude, I was really scared. I thought that was the end of our friendship.
And it kind of was. You don't realize that things had have changed after that.
Oh, no, I realized pretty quickly. It's funny because, like, I thought my roommate found a bed bug in her bed, but her room is actually very far away from my room because I live in a railroad apartment. And I didn't know if the bugs got to my bed. And I slept over at your place a lot looking after your dogs, and I thought maybe I brought the bugs over there. And I made that phone call, and I stepped up, because I could have just lied, and you never would have known.
Right. Had I gotten bed bugs, I probably wouldn't have rushed right to blame you, even though you were sleeping in my bed kind of every weekend, taking care of my dogs when I was on the road before I started bringing you out. But how did I react?
I mean, surprisingly... Not even surprisingly, that's fucked up to say that, but you were very cool about it. Like, way cooler than I got. Like, you're like, yeah, well, if they happen, they happen. Like, I don't know. You were like, I've never seen you more cool or heard you more cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I was pretty zen about it. I was just like, what are you going to do? And I mean, that's what I feel like a lot of times in life is just like, okay, let's deal with this now. I think it was meditating a lot at the time, which speaks to... meditating. Right now I'm not. I just had a good cry in the car before we got started on this podcast. Sometimes you just need to cry. And by the way, it wasn't a good cry. It was like the kind of orgasm you have. It's like, it was like I really need to wail. Girls, you know what I'm talking about when you need to just like sob and you just can't let it out. So I just feel like I just kind of jerked off in front of both of you, but like didn't get to come all over you.
Yeah, it was impressive to show just, like, a little bit of tears. Like, you teased us with it, and yeah. Then it just kind of cut off, and we were like, oh, she's back to the sociopath ways.
Yeah, we don't even want to talk about that. I mean, last week on the show, if you heard last week's show, Daniel Sloss was on and posed the question about the riddle to find out if you're a sociopath or not. And I passed with flying colors. And because I instantly knew. If you want to know again, the riddle is a girl goes to her dad's funeral and she meets a distant family friend who she is in love with instantly. She falls in love with this guy that she meets. I know it's her dad's funeral, but like sparks are flying. So she leaves, the funeral's over and days pass and she doesn't hear from the guy. So she murders her sister. Why? And if you answered, because if she murders her sister, then the guy will go to her sister's funeral and she'll get to see him again, you're a sociopath. Not really, but like, that's a question that sociopaths definitely answer that too. But if you answer, it doesn't mean you definitely are one. But
you also need like a low resting heart rate, which Nikki's 2 for 2 on.
We made that one up. There's a couple things that I've said since revealing I'm a sociopath that Emil has alerted me to might further enforce that. But yeah, I posed the question to you and you didn't get it.
No, but now that I heard it again, I was like, I'm an idiot. I should totally be like an easy, like that's an easy one for anyone.
Yeah. It's not easy, though. You have to have zero empathy and enjoy torturing animals in your spare time. Did I just say that? Guys, wait, what? Who said that? No, I didn't say that.
Is that the voices?
Can you imagine if it came out that me, vegan advocate, and like... People who preach so much usually are doing the worst thing. So you could look at me and go, she's probably abusing animals in her spare time.
Right.
Which, of course, I do not. Or do I? But I don't. Or have I? No, I've never. But that is the mark of one.
You're just saving animals so that there's more for you to fuck with.
Guys, do not kill pigs and eat pigs, because I want to fucking burn them with cigarettes. What an insane person. Does sound fun. Just kidding. Emil Joachim is who is with us. You can follow him on Instagram, Emil Joachim. He's 21. He is our favorite person. Andrew and I met him on the road, and he just is in LA on an internship that he blew off today to come hang out with us.
Yeah, yeah. I was I blew off restocking kitchens, and it was worth it. It was totally worth it. Don't do internships ever.
Don't do them. He's unpaid. There's no, he could just call in sick because they're not paying him, and it's, that's freeing though. Andrew, have you ever done an internship?
Yeah, I did. I worked for my dad and, filing at his cancer place, at his office. And, we would, it would be very, I'm a hypochondriac, so I would see all these cancer patients and I did not like it.
Yeah. Last night you guys went to a premiere party. Very exciting. Rami Youssef's, new HBO special premiere party. How was that?
You know, it's when I come out to LA, every time I come out here, it just, I become more and more involved in the entertainment industry in a sense that I will, probably have a star on the Walk of Fame probably by my third visit from now.
And did you make any connections last night? Any powerful Hollywood execs take interest in you, notice you from across the room? Were you wearing your new outfit? Andrew got a new outfit over 3 weeks ago, and he hasn't washed it yet. It's just a black denim jacket, which he claims only he has thought to wear, with some light jeans, right? I mean, this is...
That's correct. It's my new outfit that I got 11 days ago at Levi's for 50% off. And I've been wearing it every day, and I feel like things are changing for me, especially last night. A lot of execs came up to me. They go, "What are you wearing?" And I said, Levi's. And they said, "Wow, we want to sign you to Paramount."
No one said that, and this podcast has fallen off the rails. We've done a lot of fun things here in L.A. since all being together. It's so funny that we come to L.A. and we just hang out with everyone who's not from L.A. I mean, Emil, you're from Indiana. Well, you live in Indiana now. You're still in college. You have one more year to go.
Yeah, I live in southern Indiana, which is like not what you're supposed to do when you're any type of ethnicity.
Yeah.
So it's not great.
Tell us what you are.
I'm Lebanese, but I come off as just anything. Like, people just don't really read it. They just are like, yeah, you're something I probably shouldn't like. Like,
you have amazing eyelashes. What serum do you use?
People always would make fun of me. They'd say I wore eyeliner, or what is it? What's the
eyeliner?
Eyeliner or the, yeah, long lashes?
I would love to do your eye makeup because you guys, he has like girl eye. Like, if girls try to get their eyes to look like yours when they do makeup,
yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
It really is an advantage because most men could benefit from some mascara, and you don't need it. But if I did, can I put mascara on you?
I would let you, yeah.
Right now?
Right now?
I would really like to.
No.
Let's just see what you're capable of.
Okay.
I'll let you remove it.
Okay.
You... Is this good radio?
Yeah, this is a good visual for people.
No, I'll get it out while I ask you about... I have my little makeup bag. You're going to get pink eye, by the way. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I've gotten it so many times. No.
Okay, cool. Once you get it, it's like, yeah, you just have it forever. That's not true about pink eye. But what if you did get some awful eye disease and there's like no way that I couldn't be like, it could have been your makeup. You know, like it's only this that you put in your eye.
My eyelashes fall off.
I'm just going to do one side, okay? And just let's just see the magic that happens.
How do I take it off, though?
Okay, maybe you don't. Okay, so I'm putting it on. Okay, blink, blink. Oh my God, it's like not doing anything because you already have too much. We're in a parked car on the side of the road. Emil is not driving. Emil, you're gonna hit that thing. Just kidding, he's totally parked. Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh my God, I'm terrified to see it.
It's so good. Oh, it's going up. Girls, do you ever dream of putting... Oh, my God. It's popping,
no,
dude.
It looks worse than the other eye, like, significantly, you can tell.
No, it looks better is the problem.
Like,
wait, look at me.
Look at me. You can barely tell because you have such thick eyelashes.
What are you eating?
You have, like, very... what do you look like? Caterpillar? Not caterpillars. It's nice.
Yeah, it's a good look. Girls, it's so fun to put makeup on boys because then they look like girls. And we always have to look like boys when we don't have makeup on. So, honestly, Emil, you don't need to take it off. It's not noticeable.
What if this started a trend for me where I just did this before every show now? Like, this is just the new me. Just one eye, though. I think I could...
I think... One eye mascara. Guys doing one eye mascara is kind of masculine. Yeah. It's like taking control over, like, indulging, but not too much. Like, I just want one eye. I'm going to fuck with you.
Yeah, it's like, I know your pain. Like, I'll show you with... It's the one eye I wink with. Like, that's what I wink at you with, that one. So it's a little more catching. It's like, does he just... Hold on, did he just wink at me with extra long lashes?
You look like you have on... You know, the, like, the two masks that are, like, drama and tragedy? Like, your face is that.
They're both drama. They're both drama.
If you're wondering, I'm using Wet n Wild Mega Length Mascara on Emil. It's my favorite mascara. It costs like $2.99. Girls, listen up. Wet n Wild Mega Length. It's light purple and long. You guys met... I took Emil and Andrew the other night to the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. I had a set on a charity show. I do these charity shows all the time, and I get there, and I haven't researched the charity at all, so I have to kind of pretend that I know what they do by also finding out what they do. I always intend to read up on it on the way there, and I always forget because I, like, get distracted with Instagram. But, yeah, I walked another... And usually I'm pretty honest. I'm like, sorry, you guys, I didn't look into this. The other night I tried to lie my way out of it. Like, I love what you guys do, and, like... Anyway, it is a good foundation. It's called the UFC. No, that's not it. I was not trying to be funny just then. I swear to God. It's called the IMC. Look it up. Great organization. They, like, are Doctors Without Borders in a Barnes & Noble world.
They're like cage fighters without cages.
They're what?
They're like cage fighters without cages.
Exactly, exactly. So I did this charity show, but David Koechner, who you might know from The Office.
A whammy!
Champ.
A whammy!
Champ from Old School? No.
Anchorman.
Anchorman, that's right. And what else is he on?
He's from The Office.
The Office. And I know him from other stuff, too, even before that. So but many. He is so nice, and he was emceeing the event. And I brought Andrew and Emil backstage, and no one knew who they were or anticipated them being there. And not and people on the lineup don't, like, bring their friends, but I did, and I can. And he could have been so, like, annoyed that you guys were there because I had to go on stage and, like, leave him alone with you. But apparently I went on stage and you guys, like, hung out for 30 minutes talking to him. What was that like meeting David Koechner?
It was a surreal experience. I do love Anchorman. I grew up on Anchorman. I feel like I got a lot of my chops from him. Also... This might, I don't want to throw him under the bus or whatever, but he was complaining that the audience didn't like him that much. And I do feel like if you're not doing great on stage, you'll bond with anyone as a comic. Like, at least I will. Like, if I'm not doing well, I'll look for anyone to, like, treat
me. Talk about it with.
Yeah, talk about it with, or treat me like I'm special. Like, just give me something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point. I'm sure he was feeling vulnerable back there, being like, I just, like, didn't do so well. Because we've all been there, and all you want, if he would have just been sitting there alone, it could have been bad for him. So thank God you guys were there as his emotional support. What was the highlight of it for you, Emil? Or anything to tell us about it?
He hosted, which was, like, inspirational. I was like, man, no matter what you do, you can always still host a comedy show.
Yeah.
Don't ever think you're past hosting.
Oh, yeah. He was hosting, and he was the biggest name on the bill, arguably. Well, definitely, actually. And he had boots made out of... We all liked his boots. It looked like some kind of animal skin, like some kind of take on a crocodile or something. And it ended up being an Amazon creature from the depths of the Amazon River that is half fish, half alligator. And it's called, I don't even know what it's called, but he pulled this creature up on his phone and he had boots made out of it.
Yeah, and he had an outfit. He had rings. He was not dressed anywhere like I ever thought he would, and exactly how I thought he would be dressed.
That's a really good point.
It was weird. Like, and he, like, he looked so masculine while wearing the most, like a flamboyant cowboy shirt. I don't know. Like, he dressed, like, sometimes I'm worried, like, oh, people are going to look at me and, like, judge me. And, like, he wore the most absurd outfit. I didn't judge him for a second. I just, if anything, I thought he was even cooler.
Agreed. So that was pretty cool for them. Typical night for me, you know. I'm always rubbing elbows with stars of...
Dudes in cowboy boots.
Yeah, dudes in cowboy boots, famous people
with rings and jewelry.
That were in movies that you don't really know their name if you were beg to come up with it. But once you see him, you go, you're that guy.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of you're that guys. And, but he's more than a you're that guy. David Koechner is like truly, I was just blown away by how funny he was. He was just like making fun of you guys in a funny way, and you were doing it back, and he was loving it. He was just watching a bunch of dudes like kind of bro out, you know? Also, we went and got massages yesterday. Emil's second massage in his life. We got full body Thai massages. I just can't do massages anymore. They make me feel too vulnerable. I'm being touched when I'm naked, which feels nice, but then I fall asleep and I wake up being touched by a strange man, and it always throws me for a loop, and I always get nervous and kind of like tense up, and then I kind of go through some weird, you know, micro trauma of like, oh no, where am I? And then a man's touching me, and then you're done with it, and they slap you a bunch because that's the Thai massage style. They get out a lot of aggression.
They spanked you?
They kind of go,
I didn't get any of that.
They slap you. Yeah, they always do. I don't know why they didn't to you.
I was like, maybe they were just gay.
Maybe they just do that to me. Maybe that's, maybe they just hate me.
This is part of it.
But they slap you, and then you have to like put on your clothes and you're like oily. I don't think I'll ever do it again. I think foot massages are the way to go. Or they come to me and then they leave. I don't like this hookup where I go to his place and then I have to leave. I want to like crawl back into bed right after it's over. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, but you've gotten that before since I've known you, and you didn't enjoy it.
I know, I don't know, there's something about massages for me that I always think I want it, and then I do it, and I'm like, that wasn't great. I just feel kind of used, and I feel like I need more. I need a happy ending is what I need. And was there a fear in you yesterday that at this Thai massage place she might go for it, Andrew?
No fear whatsoever. And if it happened, I would take it like a champion. And you would hear me breathe heavy, and we would be closer for it.
Yeah, I could hear everything.
It was all curtains. Like, we could hear every movement, and I was afraid. The whole time I was just trying to make, like, subtle movements to her that, like, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I don't want that.
Yes.
Because how thin all the walls were.
Right. You didn't even want to have to deal with, like, having to say it out loud because I would have heard it because I was within, like, 3 feet of you. At one point, you said she did touch your balls.
She did touch my balls, and she giggled and went, sorry, like, really quietly, and I was like...
It was accidental.
It was hopefully accidental. It would be weird if she just, like, flicked one just to be like, yeah, bitch, like...
But isn't she used to balls? I mean, do you have, like, low-hanging balls?
No. Oh, but she was really in the thighs. Okay. Like, she went really up there.
Yeah.
Where I was like, what do you expect by the time, you know what I mean? You're way up there. You got to know you're going to stumble upon something. Like,
yeah, she has. Like,
yeah. I was getting a massage and I was naked and the sheet was down below my ass, you know, and I farted in my sleep. And my reaction was to cover my own ass with the sheet. And I just covered my own ass and I said sorry. And she's like, it was just a natural reaction. It was so funny, dude.
Yeah, I don't understand that of like you wake up from a fart and then you just panic and just do something stupid like cover your own ass with your sheet. Which doesn't make any sense.
I Dutch oven myself.
Yeah, you just didn't want anyone else to suffer. That's actually kind of nice.
Waft it back into your ass cheeks.
Speaking of farts, I can fart right now.
No one wants that.
Oh, I thought for this show.
No, we're in an enclosed car. I have to go edit my special. I'm dreading it deeply. I'm going to sit and watch myself. It's the first edit of my Netflix special that is due to Netflix in like 2 hours. And I have to watch myself and go over it. And I just don't want to do it. You guys have heard me complain about this. But Andrew and I are reading a new book where you face your fears. So, okay, if you're scared about something, Andrew and I both read one chapter of one book called The Tools. By who?
Phil Stutz.
Phil Stutz. The Tools is the name of the book. And we've only read, like, one chapter of it. You know when you read a self-help book and you're like, I get it, you know? So that's us with this book, and it is... what you do when you're scared of something is you imagine the worst case scenario and then you go, bring it on. Fucking bring it. Okay, so I'm going to go into that edit booth and I'm going to hate everything I see and I'm going to think my jokes aren't funny and I'm going to panic and not want to release it because I just am not funny enough. Bring it. I can handle that. I've handled worse shit in my life. And now guess what? By saying that and by entertaining the idea of the worst case scenario, that's not going to happen. Most of the time, the worst case scenario doesn't happen. So now I'll be able to handle whatever happens in there. I mean, what am I going to go in that edit booth and get raped? Bring it. I mean, that actually is the worst case scenario for what that would happen in that booth.
I don't know. The director's cute.
How dare you? Yeah, I'm about to have to look at myself for 2 hours. Just not in the mood for it. And what else do I have to say about this? You guys get it. We got massages. Did we do anything else of note in LA over our stay? It's been a fun week. I go to Houston tomorrow. It's going to be very exciting. Be at the Houston Improv Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. I've been to Houston before. Last time I was there was right after the floods. And remember Houston had terrible, terrible floods?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
It was right after the floods, and an animal rescue place contacted me and was like, "Oh, we're also gonna be in Houston. We're driving out from LA," and they had no money to stay, so I put them up in a hotel, and then I did a charity show for them on a Thursday night and raised like $7,000 to $8,000. It was something like that for animals, and then also on that Sunday, I went and spent time at a shelter with, like, sad dogs. And I gotta say, I like throwing money at things more than getting in there and doing them. And that's a thing I have to face about myself. Volunteering for me is very hard because I don't like to wait for people to tell me what to do. I just want to do it. And I feel like it's a lot of, like, you have to have patience to volunteer. And I'm making excuses. Volunteering is so good. But, like, I feel like I'm working hard enough to earn money to then give it towards people who volunteer. Is that weird? Do you guys volunteer, Emil?
I have, but it's good what you do because you need both. You need people that donate money and then the volunteers, so you're doing the other part of it that a lot of people can't do.
But I also feel that I know that one of the ways to, like, be less depressed and anxious is to, like, give and to, like, actually give your time and focus on others, and I feel like volunteering would be helpful for me. It always just reminds me of Columbine because, stay with me, one time there was a day of service in my high school, freshman year, and we all had to go to a Goodwill or Salvation Army or something and, like, sort clothes or load stuff, and that was the day Columbine happened. So, honestly, volunteering for me is, like, really triggering, and I can't do it.
I mean, look, if that's your excuse, then and you're a pussy.
Do you volunteer?
Every day. I go to the shelter and I...
Shut up. What have you really ever volunteered in your life?
No.
I have one time.
Community service doesn't count.
Yeah, community service doesn't count.
I did it with my football team. We would go and we'd cut down trees. That's pretty much, I don't know if that's wrong.
What's the nicest thing you've done for someone without them asking recently? And I'll pose this question to all of us. And I honestly have to think about my own answer.
That's a hard question, and it should be easier.
It should be easier to answer, and it is a hard question.
Probably last night.
Okay, so what did you do last night?
I had Emil come to the party, and I gave an amazing introduction to a comedian that he really looks up to that might help him in the future, and I don't feel like he owes me anything back except for $35 or some shit. But no, he really owes me nothing, and it felt good. And it felt like selfless.
Okay, and how? I wonder whose idea it was for you to bring Emil to that party.
It was just my own intellect and my own. And you said something about.
Yeah, I might have said, Andrew, you have a plus one at the party, right? And I'm sitting next to him and Emil at lunch, and I keep going like nodding at Emil, like take him to the party, and he's just like, yeah, I'm going, and I'm like, okay, well, you should take Emil.
Okay.
And then Emil was like, oh, I don't need to go. That's a good Emil. That's a really good. I don't need to go. And
I. Boy that lost his dog.
Yeah. And I'm wondering. Wait. What were you about to say?
No. I was gonna. I know this sounds ridiculous, and now saying it out loud sounds absurd. But I was gonna bring you. I was offering you the plus one. Cause. But then
me being me, not Emil.
Yeah. You being Nikki. So you were my plus one in my mind. That's why I didn't invite Emil. But if you even think about 3 days before that, I had Emil come to a show of mine and introduce them to someone else without you mentioning anything.
Yes. So, okay, that's a good, well, good point.
I also tried to avoid getting invited because the worst kid is the one that's like, oh, I'd love to go, like just butts in and be like, oh, you're going to that, like that's the worst person.
Yeah,
ever.
You would never be that person though, ever, ever, ever.
That's true, I guess.
It gets you invited by not being that person. Yeah. And then I know you're not going to be a dickhead once we get there, even though you were a little bit.
I totally, like,
there's no way that Emil is ever going to blow it for you. You're never going to be the center of attention. You're never going to get too drunk. You're just in your 21. Like, these are things that you should be. You should be annoying. Right. You should be a little overeager. Maybe a little bit more so. But honestly, things seem to be working out for you with the temperament that you do have.
I think so. And last night I got Andrew, like, a lot of the appetizers. Like, I pointed him towards them. Like, I flagged down the guys.
Oh, yeah. You have to take care of Andrew, like, a lot when you're with him. Yeah, and I know, I appreciate that you noticed that he, like, forgets to eat. He won't know where bathrooms are. He needs a lot of caretaking. And Emil, I'm glad that you covered that for him.
I had a child leash on his arm, like in the airports when you see, like, a little kid that has ADD and the mom is, like, yanking him. That's what I was doing with, like, food. Like, I would put Cheerios on the ground, like, leading Andrew to the bathrooms and everything. It was great.
He saw Cassie David and just started running for her. Cassie David, your dream girl. I mean, since I've known Andrew, I've always been like, I always like to ask guys, like, of any celebrity chick that they could have, like, who's their dream girl? And he always said Cassie David. Yes, you did, dude. Yes, you did.
I've mentioned, I think, Cassie David's very cute before, and she dated Pete, but she was not my number one crush. I mean, she's not even a celebrity.
Yeah, but you said that, though. I remember you saying that to me. Out of everyone, you were like, I really think that, you know, Cassie David and I would really get along and really strike up a really nice time. You said something to that effect. There was a part of you that, because she had been with Pete, I think you maybe had, like, you thought you had an in because you do comedy or something. Just the way I feel about Chris Evans with Jenny Slate. He dated Jenny Slate, so I'm like, oh, at least he likes funny girls. Like, I maybe have a shot, you know? So there's nothing wrong with it, but did you get a chance to talk to Larry David's daughter?
No, but we were in line getting drinks, and she cut me. And then she realized she was cutting me. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, is this the line? And that's when I realized she's the one.
Did you say anything to her?
I go, yeah, it's back there.
You covered your ass with a sheet. Guys, let's get to the first clip of the show. Lizzie Cooperman was in studio Monday with Chase Bernstein. Such a funny, fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. We're talking about relationships, because what else do I like to talk about? Not much. Actually, yeah, no, that's about it. Lizzie Cooperman, Chase Bernstein on Monday's show, live from L.A. If sex eventually kind of goes away when you age with someone, like, 70-year-olds aren't, like, wanting to throw each other's, like, bang each other all the time, right, and have this lust. Yeah. And if I want to be with someone that long into my old age, if it's going to go anyway, why not just
start off like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, really, like, if... So there are all these things that I question over and over, but you're right. Like, you just make a decision, and either way, you're going to beat yourself up.
You have to enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You have to make decisions that allow you to enjoy it and be in it and feel like you're, like, an active participant. And I feel like when you sign up for a relationship that you're not totally invested in, you're choosing to be, like, a passive observer in your own life. It's almost like you could separate from yourself and have, like, a drone view of the relationship. You should be feeling it and in it and inspired.
I know. I feel the same way in a search for an apartment. Like, part of me wants to just find one, get it, because I'm moving August 1st and I just haven't found a place yet. And I put an offer on one. I'm not buying, but I put a rental offer on one. And got rejected. Like, I thought they were going to accept it. It was like where I was asking for less rent, but I was going to pay, like, 6 months up front. Like, how could they pass it up?
Right.
And so I was, like, in my mind moving there. And then they said no. And they're not moving. They're not budging on the money. And now it's opened up a world of possibilities where I'm like, oh, now I can go anywhere. Like, now I'm thinking about maybe I'll move back to LA. Like, I'm just going anywhere now. And I was locked into that before. Mm-hmm. And that kind of scares me, though. It's because you make these decisions and then your life just goes in that direction. I mean,
have done this continually of like visiting places. Like I moved to New York because I had one good weekend there and everyone was like, you should move back. And I'm like, okay.
That's so
funny. I went back to LA and to have lunch with Lizzie, yeah. And I'm like, I'm moving to New York. And she's like, what? And I'm like, right. Yeah, I just had a good weekend. And that's what I did in college. I was going to school at University of Colorado. For spring break, I went to visit my high school friends at University of Kansas. That weekend, they got into the Final Four, like, and it's a huge basketball school. So the town was in. It was the best time I've ever had in my life. Was that weekend at University of Kansas, and it never even was close to as good as that when I transferred because of that weekend. Like, you know, I was like, I'm gonna go back because every weekend's gonna. And I transferred there, and I completed school there based on that one. And it was a flippant decision that I made. I was like, I had fun. I'm not happy at Colorado. I had like a bad week.
Right.
And it was all done so last minute and haphazardly. But then it said, I mean, my life would be so different if I didn't make that that call. I don't know.
You went where it felt good, where you felt like there was heat around
it. But then there are decisions like shoes that you're like, would those change the course of my life? Does it really? Because I kept doing that about my name. Like, right before my special, I was like, my nails look like shit. I chose this like sparkly thing to put on the top of a white nail and it looked like it was chipping off. And I was the day of, I was like, I have to get my nail color done. And I was like, is someone going to watch my special and see my nails and be like, we shouldn't give her a movie role or like, what? Like, is this really going to impact my life?
I know.
And I was like, maybe.
Like, yeah. The thing is, every decision makes a because Chase wouldn't have lost sleep over that. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like every decision does make a difference, but
it's
all about
consciousness. That's what paralyzes me. Yeah. That's why I'm so indecisive, because I'm like, this is going to change my life. It's not like, oh, this could change my life. Everything you decide changes your life, even if it's in a small way.
I remember one time I was, and that's, it blew my mind when I realized that I was in New Orleans with my ex-boyfriend, and we had just gone to dinner, and I was like, I want to go put $500 on a roulette table. Like, I've never gambled in my life. That's about as much money as someone my age would have spent at this point anyway, and I've never gambled. I'm like, let's just do it. I don't like gambling. I just want one and done, and I'm willing to lose it. Let's go. So I was like, we were so excited because it's so much money to put on. I could double it or lose all of it, and I'm like, but I'm willing to let it go. So we're walking there, and I stopped to fix my shoe. Because, like, my shoe, we were walking to the casino, and he goes, because you're stopping to fix your shoe right now, it's going to be a different outcome than if you didn't. And I was like, oh, well, he's like, it's just, this is the way it is. Like, when you get up to the table, it's going to be different because every little step, because this car's passing in front of us, I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And then that's what made me realize, I know it's like the butterfly effect and everyone knows this, but it's just those kind of little moments change everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
did you win?
It freaks me out.
Yes, I did. And then I took it to the black. I ended up walking away with like $1,500 that night. So I tripled it.
That's amazing. Damn.
It was awesome. All because of my shoes. So it comes back to the shoes, guys. You've got to choose shoes that need fixing.
Right.
That was Monday's show. We're back in the car. It's the next day from the top of the show. So it's the same assembly of people in this car. We got Emil, Joaquin, Andrew, Colin. This time we're driving to LAX. I'm flying to Houston. It's early in the morning. Emil, do you still have, how'd you get that makeup off? I haven't even followed up with you about this.
I genuinely can't tell if it's still on or not. I don't know if it's waterproof. I went into Wendy's bathroom and I just threw water on one side of my face.
Oh, that's not going to work. I know my mascara and it is one of the tubes that I have two of the same. So one of them is definitely waterproof and it's a nightmare to get off. You should have just left it on. But did it come off?
Did
it like streak when you tried to get it off?
That's what I was worried about, because there was no mirror in the Wendy's bathroom, so I was worried I would throw water on my face and then just walk out, and I wouldn't be able to see that, like, one side. It just looked like I was...
Girls listening have... Girls know that... Okay, if it's a waterproof mascara, girls, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it just is sticky, and it will, like, smudge, and it'll get under your eye, and you can't get that smudge off because it's so permanent. I think that's probably what you dealt with. But honestly, there's no residue. And this is the next day, and you really didn't wipe it at all. You usually need makeup remover wipes to get that off.
Yeah, or I just put it on the other eye also, and now it balances it out.
Oh, my God. If you think you're dropping me off in the airport without me doing both eyes, you're insane, because we got a little bit more to... I want to do eyeliner on you, too. God. Seriously, guys listening, just put mascara on once and see if your girlfriend realizes it. Like, go to her makeup bag, put on mascara, and then when you and then like go to dinner with her. That would be a fun like video to like prank series, or not prank series, but like just to have a like see if girls notice. Andrew, have you ever worn makeup? Can I please put makeup on you this weekend? You let me do anything.
Of course. You put makeup on me one time on the airplane, remember? And then one time I was so drunk, it was in I was in Panama City, spring break in college, and I got so fucked up during the day that I hung out with these random girls from Purdue University, and they put full makeup on me, like full, like, and then my buddies came home. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, I got blacked out drunk and allowed four women to make
the
up.
Problem with women putting makeup on guys is that they overdo it sometimes and it turns into, like, a drag thing. But if you do, like, really good makeup on a guy, it's going to be... I'm going to do it on Andrew and I'll take a picture and share it on my story for sure.
I have a sty now in my eye that I believe I got from Julian yesterday.
Later on in the podcast, you'll hear a clip from Julian McCullough and Sean O'Connor, who were in studio with me and Andrew yesterday, and Julian had a sty in his eye. I don't think styes are contagious, dude.
I read about it. There's a toss-up in the medical community right now. They don't know if it is or isn't, but they have a good feeling that it could be.
Okay, so maybe... How did you... There's just no way. I feel like mentally you were thinking about styes and then, like, gave yourself one. Because I just... You didn't... touch him enough? Did you like touch him?
I hugged him and I was next to him in the final picture. I remember. I don't know. I mean, if I could just imagine though, if he had a sty and then I had the capability to get so stressed out that I made a sty.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
That's like magical shit.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not kidding you. I have given myself things before just from stress, and like I've made things go away. I famously on this show have talked about the time where I felt myself getting a cold sore, which I've only had one in my whole life, which was like 15 years ago. And then I felt one coming on last July, and I had to film roast battle for 5 days, and I felt a fucking massive one coming, like, and I researched it and my friend saw it. She was like, what's going on in your lip? And I was like, holy shit. And I was, and then I researched it. All the evidence said that it was at a stage where, like, it's going to blister, it's going to go through the stages of cold sore, and you can't get out of it. It's going to be a whopper. And then I decided that I didn't have time. My car was coming to get me to, like, go to the shoot, and I had 5 days in a row of shooting, so it was just going to get progressively worse on TV. And I had, like, 20 minutes until the car came to get me. No, it was, like, an hour. And I was like, I could go to urgent care and get something. I don't even know what you do for a cold sore. I've never treated one. Or I could go get... You see them at Walgreens, like the patches or whatever. And then I was like, that's all so stressful. I'm going to just sit and meditate and just convince myself that it's gone. And I'm going to tell this cold sore, like, you're done. You're done. And I literally sat there for 20 minutes, closed my eyes and did TM, Transcendental Meditation. And I thought about my cold sore and I focused on it. And I just told it, you're done. You're not gonna blister. You're not going to go any further than this. And I'm not joking, you guys. Every Google search I made said, this is a non-negotiable, it's gonna happen, and the fucking thing went away and never got worse and disappeared. And maybe it wasn't a cold sore, but it, like, there were no pictures that was like, maybe it's not, it was. It definitely was, and it went away. So your mental ability to, like, bring things on and get rid of them is so vast, you don't even know. And I'm not saying you can cure cancer by thinking it away, but, like, can't, I mean... Stress causes so many ailments, physical ailments. You guys have heard me talk about this shit all the time, but I just want to say that I, like, meditated a cold sore away, and I would bet my life on it that that's what made it go away. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but it worked.
Well, I'm gonna try to meditate the sty away.
I'm gonna meditate it back on. I'm gonna make it get worse. I'm gonna focus so hard. I'm gonna Matilda your sty into erupting while you're on stage. One time, dude, I had pink eye in Atlanta at the Funny Farm. It was this club that used to be in, like, an arcade. It was half arcade.
It was so bad.
No, wait, what?
It was so bad, it was obvious. Like,
no, so, I got pink eye in one eye because the night before I was opening for Chris Porter, and me, Chris Porter, and the club owner, we got, like, one of those cards that they give you to go to the arcade for free because it's, like, in the building. And we went and played skee ball. And watch out, wash your hands in an arcade because kids with poop on their hands are like everywhere. And so I got pink eye in one eye, and I'm not joking you, it comes on so fast. I was on stage the next night and I'm like, guys, this isn't good. Like, it was close, it was nearly close up. While I was on stage, it infected the other eye, and that's how fast pink eye comes on. I walked off 20 minutes later and I was like fully pussy-eyed. My eyes did look like little pussies. They were like closed and like dripping. It was disgusting. And that's my pink eye story. But yeah, it comes on fast.
Can I show you something pretty incredible?
What
meditation did to me?
What?
Look at my thumb.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Your wart can go away with your, his wart is gone. I'm not joking you. That's my wart went away too by that.
I don't know if it's from meditation.
No, it's not from meditation, but it's from, it could be.
I don't know. All I know.
It's something happened in your body that made, his wart is completely gone. And that thing was a rager.
David Waterfield.
Is it not the other hand?
David Waterfield. Yeah, is it the other, let's see the other thumb. Oh my God, I miss it.
I just wanted to see how stumpy the other thumb was too.
Oh guys, we gotta get to Tuesday's show. Greg Fitzsimmons was on. He is my favorite. If you don't listen to Fitzdog Radio, it's a great podcast. Just go through the episodes and pick a comedian you like and listen to him sit down with comedians. He's just like honest, there's no BS. He's not kissing anyone's ass. It's just great conversation. It's real. He's like really inspired me. So if you like this podcast, you're going to love Fitzdog Radio. He didn't ask me to say that, but it truly is one of my favorite podcasts. So Greg Fitzsimmons, who, by the way, the best story about Greg Fitzsimmons is one time someone called the club that he was working at to ask who was working. And they were like, someone at a club told him that they were working the box office, and someone had called earlier that day and goes, yeah, who's performing tonight? And the guy goes, it's Greg Fitzsimmons. And he goes, Grapefruit Simmons. And so Grapefruit Simmons, he gave me a shirt that has him as a grapefruit that someone made with grapefruit. That was really nice. He brought me a gift. Also, shout out to, God, what is her name? There's another girl. I'm so sorry. You know who you are. You're listening right now. She always gives me the best gifts. I get a lot of gifts from fans, and I gotta say that sometimes they don't hit the mark, and I appreciate it, but I'm like, I don't really need this or want this, but I always appreciate it. Always. And I make sure it finds a good home. But if you know me, you know I don't like stuff. So, but this girl always nails it. She gave me this really cute little glass tray once that says weed on it. So it just like is for your, it's like it's an ashtray, I guess, for weed. But it just is cool. And then she gave me a shirt that was made at Etsy that has all the Fleabag. You guys know Fleabag's like my favorite show. But it has like all these Fleabag cartoons on it. And it's really well done. And it's so cute. So thank you for that shirt. Why was I saying that? I forget. Oh, people get, yeah, he gave me a shirt. This bitch gave me a shirt. Sorry I called you a bitch. You know I say that lovingly. She wrote a really nice card. So anyway, I just appreciate the fans. And Andrew, I know you appreciate your fans.
Jeff, Dave, Lindsay, and Samantha.
Whenever Andrew and I do a live Instagram story, or whenever he's doing one, let me just say last week we were headed to the airport after a week of shows, and he is in the car talking on an Instagram story, and they were Instagram live, and he is doing, there's 17 people watching, and you were talking like, hey man, my fans, and I go, he doesn't love you guys. And then we realized like, you could love all your fans because 17 people isn't that hard to like memorize that many people and like have deep relationships with them. So I was like, oh, maybe you do love all your fans.
I definitely feel like it's always about quality over quantity, unlike you, who has so many fans that you don't even like 90% of them. But I love...
That's not true, and I don't have that many fans. I have a small fan base as well, and people that like me, I'm always like, oh my God, thank you. Emil, what about your fans? You have a lot of fans, Emil. I gotta say, whenever I posted pictures of you, there are a lot of girls sliding in being like, what's his deal? How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm just grateful and, you know, so happy to be here. And
Emil Joachim, if you want to follow him, EmilWakim. Andrew Collin is Andrew T. Collin. both. You don't really do much on Instagram. You're more Snapchat. You're Snapchatting because that's what Emil is 21, and he taught us that no one communicates via text when they're 21. It's all Snapchat. I didn't know that. Maybe you did if you're a parent.
I can't post as much on Instagram though, because I'll lose people now. I don't have the fans to post all the time. People are like, I don't want to see you that much. Like,
no, we want Emil. We want content from you. Emil is a hilarious stand-up comedian, by the way. He's really young, and if you're a comedian listening, you should be threatened by him because he's way funnier than he should be at his age, and he's going to probably eclipse all of you and me someday. That's why I get in early. I find these guys that are funny early, and then when they get a sitcom someday, I get to play the wacky drunk neighbor who's like trying to bang them, and everyone's like, ha ha ha, that woman, she could never. And I'm like, oh, all right, thanks. Okay, so getting into Wednesday's episode, Greg Fitzsimmons was there, and who else? Oh, Carlisle Forrester, queen of Squirt Nation. I really recommend following Carlisle Forrester on Instagram too. She is the thirstiest bitch I've ever seen in my life. She posts bikini shots all the time. She's a really funny comedian, but it's all just sexy pictures. And her story is really funny. Like, she's one of these chicks that can balance being super hot and unapologetic about it and also funny about it. And she's fucking nuts, dude. She's nuts and so funny and so honest. So Carlisle Forrester is a great follow on Instagram. And you're going to hear her and Greg Fitzsimmons right now on You Up, the podcast.
How much feedback do you get from it, though, from people?
It's a huge career boost. Yeah. Like, it's just, it takes you to the next level each time. Everyone watches those roasts. So there's no way I would turn it down, but I do like the amount of time I need to work on the, write the jokes, then test out the jokes. Then, I hope that, you know, Whitney and Natasha turn it down quickly so I can get that offer.
Do you, do you go to the clubs and do it like a set?
Oh yeah. I take it out there. Yeah. To all. And that's the hard part about it, is you never get a really good gauge of this. Is this going to work in the room? There's never, when I do a Tonight Show set or a late night set, you run it in front of crowds and you're just like, I just know it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Last night I was at Cafe Gratitude. Do you know that place?
Yeah.
Where you order, for those of you who don't know, it's a vegan place. And when you order things on the menu, whatever it is, like, has a name like, I am pure. And you have to order and say, I am pure, to order a Caesar salad. So pure is Caesar salad. So, yeah. And it's so stupid. And then they give you a question of the day. So you order and then go, okay, the question of the day is, when do you feel you're most confident? And I was at dinner with my two comic friends, Andrew and Emil. And I started off, I took it very seriously. I was like, okay, I'm going to actually think about this. And I realized the most confident I ever feel is doing The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Because and they were like, really? And I was like, yes, because I've run that set a million times. It's perfect. There's no way it's not going to kill. It's crushed a million times in front of all these crowds. I've been practicing it. And then you go up in front of the best crowd in the world, in which I could go out there and do nothing and they would,
and
I
then
would
you
kill.
Got, and then you got Jimmy over there laughing on top of it.
It's just a slam dunk no matter what.
And, right.
And it's a slam dunk because it's you.
And Carlisle Forrester is here. Hey,
hi,
girl.
Hi, everyone.
No, that's not true. But I always put in enough work. I know that I set
it's
the
about,
table.
Right, doing it over and over again. I'm the same way about making love to my wife.
Mm.
I will masturbate furiously.
Yes.
For weeks.
Leading up
to
in
the time.
In front of different crowds.
In front of different crowds, bus stations, Starbucks.
So you know what works.
I know it works, and I also know, like, I'll start masturbating and then say, no, not now.
Right.
A number of times to prepare for
now,
that.
Now, how do you close?
How do I close?
Yeah.
Into my fist. Like a monkey, and then throw it at the wall. I'm like Jackson Pollock.
Can I just ask you, though, Nikki? So, like, you're the most confident because you've run that set 1,000 times.
Right.
But what does it feel like?
Hold on,
2 seconds before, like, the music starts, like, Nikki Glaser, come out.
Just,
is that
I got
not...
this. I don't give a shit. I got this. I'm
really.
But I've gotten there because I've done it 4 times now, and I wouldn't have. I don't say that about. When I did Conan and sat on the couch with him, I didn't feel that confident because I don't know what's going to happen because Conan's asking me questions. It's like an interview. I have all my jokes lined up as a stand-up set, but it could go off the rails and I'm not as sure. If I do late night on, if I do a stand-up appearance on Conan or what's another one? Seth Meyers or whatever. I don't have the same confidence. Fallon goes out before and talks to the audience and says, we love her so much. Give her all you have. Like, you can't go wrong on that show. Mm. And then...
so I just, it's, I've only gotten to that place now of like, it's the most confident I've felt doing it when I do TV, and I know it's a killer set. But what I was going to say is that for the roast, you don't know.
Yeah.
There's no way to know, because there's no way to practice when Bruce Willis, Sybil Shepherd, Edward Norton are all going to be in the room
in
looking
the room,
at you.
Yeah.
So you can't set the stage for that. You can and tell you the also improv crowd.
And you don't, yeah, you don't know who you're following. Like the one roast I did was the Chevy Chase roast.
Oh, yeah.
And I went on, and it was like, this is back when it was still like the Friars Club roast on Comedy Central. So they invited the Friars to sit in the audience, and they're a fucking billion years old.
Yeah.
And it was during the day at the Hilton in New York. That's where they always did it. And the show was 3 hours long. Chevy Chase comes in and wears mirrored sunglasses and won't meet any of us before the show. And I mean, it's it's Stephen Colbert and Al Franken, and he won't shake hands with anybody.
You've all worked so hard to honor him, and he can't even
Right,
meet
you're
me.
Honoring him.
Ugh.
And so he sits there, and he won't turn and look at us. And so it set a bad tone in the room for all these old Jews that are sitting there watching.
Well, everyone's watching him to see his reaction and how they could react.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I went on... In a three-hour show, I went on second to last,
and
the crowd was dead. And it was like literally like, okay, play to the camera and just assume they're going to sweeten it and post a little bit, which I did, and it didn't make it on the air. They cut out half of us.
Well, they
overbooked
to.
It, and they cut out half the comedians.
Right. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You just have to act as if, because you know they'll sweeten it later. But it's hard to do that when you're bombing.
Yeah, because you're a comic, you're not an actor. Actors can fake that.
Yes.
Like Jeremy Piven can bomb and pretend he's not bombing every night.
Yeah, I mean, he has to.
Every night. That's all I've seen him do, actually.
I think I'm doing a show with him tomorrow.
Good for you.
They booked
We're a Jay turtleneck. Dave.
Yeah.
That was Wednesday's episode. We're back. I'm with Andrew Collin now at LAX, going through the line at the United check-in. There is breaking news, you guys. It's just Andrew and I. We're just chit-chatting. I had no plan of recording right now, but I couldn't wait because I needed to hear the rest of the story, and I wanted to hear it for the first time live. So we were talking about, last night Andrew sent me a video of him and Andrew Santino hanging out at the Improv, and they both like put their tongue, they pretended they were like doing going down on girls motion. You know, when guys go that, they were doing that into the phone, and then they sent me a video of it, and we were talking about that and how, I could put my phone like on my crotch and simulate it. And I made that joke. And then we talked about our friend who one time, when he jerks off, sometimes he'll go through, dick pics he's been sent and make them the size of his screen and then hold them up to his mouth as he pleasures himself, which is hilarious. And so we were talking about that, and then Andrew goes, I mean, I've made out with like the screen before. And I go, well, as like a joke, like he goes, I've kissed the screen before. And I go, like, yeah, like when you're like sending a video to your friends, like not as a joke, I mean like but can you imagine like really kissing it? And he goes, no man, I really, who was the last one I kissed, and he's searching through his brain, the last person he made out with on his phone, apparently it was who?
Halsey.
Okay, hold on. How long did this last, you kissing your phone, and was there tongue involved?
I don't know if there was tongue, because I didn't want to get electrocuted, but I do know that it was a very close-up picture, so it was there was a lot of lips. And I go, well, why can't I just kiss, just a little kiss, just me and her, just hanging out, and then I kiss my phone, I don't know. It's like when
what
I
do you
kid.
Feel admitting this right now? Is this like vulnerable for you? Because this is one of the Andrew rarely shocks me with things he shares, but this is truly shocking me to my core that someone would do this.
I used to kiss a mirror when I was a kid to practice.
A mirror who?
A mirror cat. No, a mirror, like a mirror.
I know.
Okay. Yeah, and then my mom caught me because there were tongue marks all over the mirror.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So as a child, I used to like haunt my pillow and pretend it was a boy. I get that, but like that behavior has definitely 100% ceased since I became 15?
When I was around 15, I would get porn magazines, and I would, the up-close pictures of the vagina, I would put my penis on it like I was having sex with it. And
you're such a simple man. So you're making out with... I understand doing that, too, so when you're 15.
I'm doing all these things, and so now I'm older, I'm more mature, so I'm not going to put my dick on my phone like a kid. But you would
if you could.
Probably, if it was...
It would do it for you.
I don't think it would.
It would.
Maybe it would. I haven't tried it.
A close-up, and honestly, that's more the size that you could, like...
It is creepier to make out with just a mouth.
It's so weird, dude.
Yeah.
Do you feel weird doing that? Do you ever look at yourself and go, you're making out with a video of Halsey right now?
Those kids were...
What?
Those kids were listening. The same kids that were eyeing your shoes.
Oh, they're listening? Oh, we got some kids in line behind us. This kid's probably 9, and when we first walked into the airport, he eyed my shoes so hard and judged me so hard for my shoes. And I felt insecure by a 9-year-old. Okay, so we're coming back into the recording. This is the next day. I had to stop recording the last time that you heard me talking about the kids judging my shoes because I was... checking my bags, and I wanted to be prepared as I walked up to the counter with my documents, and so I had to shut off the podcast. So we're back, but it's the next day. Guys, this is all over the place. I'm in Houston. I'm in a car again, headed back from radio with my opener this weekend, Radu Bhandar. He's been on the show before. You've heard him on the podcast before. He's a great comedian. He's opening for us in Houston this weekend. We had a show last night. Andrew Collin is in the back seat. We just did TV and radio. How you feeling, Andrew?
Well, you did. I just took notes while you did your thing.
I had some funny lines. Like, I said two things that I was like, that should go in my act. At one point, they were asking me about if I was offensive or not to people. And I was like, yeah, sometimes something I say is going to make you clutch your pearl necklace. And then they go, not certain ones. And I was like, well, if he's dehydrated enough, you could clutch it. And that is so funny to me that a guy's jizz around your neck is so thick and like ropey that and dehydrated that you could actually pick it up and clutch it. And I think it's funny.
It's like chalky.
Not chalky, but like thick. Ew, God. I'm so sorry to my listeners. This is disgusting. Radu, you get it.
Ropey is so, like, that's a good imagery word, you know?
Yeah, well, that's called, like, when guys say they shoot ropes, right? Isn't that like a porn thing?
It's not a shoot. It's maybe a dribble or like a...
No, but if you're tossing rope, that means you got a lot. That's what is it called? Tossing rope? Is that what they say?
Tossing rope. Pushing rope. That's when it doesn't work.
No, but like when guys shoot ropes, and that's a thing. It's called roping.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard a guy's cum being called ropes? Google it right now on your phone.
Roping is too close.
Ropes say semen ropes. I know it's a real thing. I'm not making that up. If I would be brilliant if I came up with ropes.
A rope of cum?
Yep. Urban Dictionary. Boom.
A rope of cum. Cum spray. The rope of cum.
Ejaculate? Ejaculate? Wait. Pull up your phone again. Ejaculate that possesses the physical properties of rope upon departing the urethral opening. The ejaculate can be referred to as a rope of cum. Yes. Ha! Knew it. I didn't come up with it. I can't believe it. Can you make a web? Radu wants to know. I mean, yeah. You can also make a little bingo stamp. What?
If you got bit by a spider and the spider had a hard-on.
God. Let's get to Wednesday's show, shall we? It is... Julian McCullough and Sean O'Connor in studio on Wednesday's show with Andrew Collin, too. They do a podcast on Comedy Central, which is who does this podcast. It's called Your Two Dads, and these guys are so freaking funny. If you're a dad or you have a dad in your life and they want a hilarious comedy podcast about being a dad, that's the one to download, Your Two Dads. This is Sean O'Connor. Did you get anything from the show? You had never met these guys before, and I told you you would love them, and you did, right?
Yeah, I got a sty in my eye from Julian.
Oh, yeah, we covered that earlier on the podcast.
No, they're great. They're so amazingly funny and nice and kind, and it didn't feel... I don't know.
Yeah, they're both really good guys that are really nice and funny.
Yeah, and
and they both have kids, which is crazy because as a stand-up, me having a kid, I think it would die in 3 days. And it's crazy that they keep it alive.
Wait, you told me the other day you do want children.
I do. I want, but I need to marry someone very wealthy so we could have a live-in nanny and I could cheat on her.
With the nanny?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, listen to Andrew's upcoming podcast called Your One Father. Who you don't see that often.
He's not successful, who lives in the shed out back, and their mother's married to a new person.
Are you, because your dad cheated on your mom with his secretary, are you more likely to cheat or less likely?
That's a good question. I think at first, when I first met the first girl I ever dated, I was like, I'm going to marry her. I would never fucking cheat. And then the older I get and I realize that, oh, no, you know, like maybe my mom could have been a little bit annoying. Maybe I will cheat. So I don't know. I think the older I get, the more willing I'd be willing to cheat on my wife.
I love that honest answer. And that takes us into Wednesday's clip. Enjoy it. Sean O'Connor, Julian McCullough, and Andrew Collin in LA.
This is actually, I think this is what I call like a white trash speedball. What I do is I'll have a sugar-free Red Bull and then Reese's.
And oh my God.
You combine the two and you are fucking flying.
Really?
Yeah, you.
What does Reese's have in it that's like going to send you
just sugar? It's just sugar with sugar free.
Yes.
I think, like, basically, I think I'm just having a full Red Bull at that point.
Yeah. You should just have a Red Bull.
You're having a peanut butter chocolate Red Bull.
Yeah.
I am going nuts every day. I know what else is annoying.
You know what else is a white trash speedball is meth and heroin.
Yeah.
So close. Sugar free Red Bull, though, if I have one, I'm instantly just like have the worst gastrointestinal problems
from
immediately. Sugar-free.
Oh, sugar-free.
Like if I sometimes I have one before I go on stage, and the whole time I'm on stage, I'm just farting. I can't hold in farts.
Wow.
Like my body will just not let me even keep
my body
in.
Doesn't react at all to sugar-free Red Bull, which means I'm like utter garbage.
Yeah. You're just a full fart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
it settles my stomach, which is
opposite of Ritalin for ADD.
I actually feel exactly how you say about your farts, Andrew, which is like, I can't keep them in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe you when you say that when you fart in front of me. Like, you can keep them in. I don't know anyone who just, because I said to you, you farted in front of me, and I was like, please don't
my
do that.
Asshole.
Yes, but I'm with you throughout the day, and I'm like, oh, if you met Cassie David and you had to fart, would you just let one out and it would squeak as you're shaking her hand? No, you would hold it in. You would find a way to hold it in.
Also, Nikki, you're famous. He farts before you, not in front of you.
Yeah, I am on a knee.
Stop farting before Nikki.
She knights me every time.
Exactly.
No, but you know my butthole. You know it's not a full hole.
So you can't
hold anything. I had butthole surgery.
Your butthole also has a lisp?
Damn. Yeah. Now we know why. Is this related to you quitting drinking?
He had fissures.
It probably is. Yeah, one fissure.
Okay, you had fissure. And you had it removed, and now your asshole is just a space. You've never even seen it.
It's a like shadow. The black of hole.
Yeah. Shadows.
So it's just a whisper of a butthole?
So when you fart, it doesn't even make a noise?
It's come back, not fully, I've getting some verbs back, you know.
You're getting some enunciation back in your asshole.
Yeah, some of that.
Okay.
Thank God.
But truly, when you have to fart, it just comes out.
For a while.
Comedian Emily Heller claims that she has never held in a fart ever, doesn't know how. And I'm like, how have you worked in this business? You can't just go into a pitch meeting at Comedy Central and be farting the whole time during it.
Yeah.
No. I have to fart like all the time.
Yeah.
I'm always holding in farts.
Oh, man, as soon as you hit like 33, you're just farts.
Yeah. I know.
If I have cheese at work, I take 30 bathroom breaks, just all designated for farts, like my fart zones around me.
Yeah.
Do you fart after sex long?
I mean, I'm farting 24/7.
I have a theory. So stupid.
Yeah, but
he pitched it to me the other day. Okay, Andrew farts a lot after sex, right?
Like I'll
sex,
have one have very like, long, intense fart. And
will you do it in front of your girlfriend?
I have not farted in front of her
yet. Okay, look it. You can hold it in front of her. I would like the same to be extended to me.
Okay, fine. I didn't realize you had a problem with it.
Except that I yell at you every time you fart in front of me?
Thought that was a bit. You're hearing
I thought it was a bit.
Okay, so what's your theory about post-sex
farts? I think the vagina air gets through my penis, goes into my stomach, through my penis hole, through my stomach, out my asshole.
Okay, and your penis hole's not connected to your stomach. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think
what do you think it is?
I think you have to look at a map of a human body to see how it works.
A map.
What else would call that? go to pretty much anything else.
it's a map.
No, I like that. A map.
If you've gone to Tennessee,
you've
gone too far.
The veins are roots.
And, reproductive system.
Yeah, the body is a wonderland, and it comes with a map.
Yeah, just go to the bodies exhibit and ask them.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's just like you're jostling a lot of things up down there, and you've probably been holding them in.
No, he hasn't actually.
Yeah, that's a good point. Problem. But I feel like
it's like an insane.
Every
farts, time.
Every time.
It's just one fart. It's just one. No, I go in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
I've been called out before. I'll turn the sink on and they'll be like, was that a fart over a sink? You know what I mean?
I think what's happening is if you're having problems coming from a wet vagina because you want it to be dry so bad, you're probably constricting your ab muscles, your stomach muscles while you're having sex to try to force out the cum, and that's making things bubble. So when you do cum, you're just broken and you're like, all right, I'm going to go tear my tiny asshole.
Listening to this,
a med student second year.
Yeah,
I would love someone to call in.
Can you imagine them listening?
Answers to this.
What
1-844-COMEDY-9 if you're a doctor and know why Andrew would be having such bad gas.
It could be you know when you put your
If you've just watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy, we'll take it.
Yeah, or looked at a map of the world.
Yeah.
If you backtracked Europe.
If you see a person standing next to a map and you can tell the difference, call in.
There's other types of maps, guys.
That's the show for us, for everyone this week. I didn't do a show on Thursday. I wasn't in studio. It was a replay because... summer travel has been terrible, and for me to get to different markets and different cities for a Thursday night show at different improvs or wherever the hell I'm performing, I can't fly out in time after the radio show. So I wasn't able to do a show on Thursday, so there's no clip from Thursday, but we did extra long segments in between for this episode so that you got a lot of content. Andrew is talking about starting a podcast. He needs a name for it. I know what it's going to be, dude. It's going to be Puddle Boy Time or whatever the hell.
Well, someone said the Puddle Podcast. Puddle Time with Andrew Collin.
What about the Puddle Cast?
The Puddle Cast, that's pretty good. And then, yeah, kind of like that.
What are you going to do on it?
It's going to be a lot of me just
running. Okay, who cares? No one cares. Honestly, the people just turned off the podcast, and that's why I had to interrupt so quickly, because people are like, we don't want to hear what Andrew's podcast is going to be about. We assume it's just going to be him dancing. Dancing and farting? Is that?
I mean, we're going to have all of that there.
Dancing and farting might be the name. Good idea, Radu.
Bad. God damn it, Radu. Dancing and farting. Or what about farts? Who knows? Whatever happens, it's going to be the best podcast. It's going to take over Joe Rogan. I'll be number one. I guarantee it. You're hearing it first. I fucking guarantee in 3 days, Joe Rogan will be my bitch. Farting and dancing, Puddle Podcast.
The dancing's going to be hard to hear on the podcast. That's the only hang-up I have. Oh, tap dancing. Okay. Well, then... What are we going to get into today in Houston, Andrew? I mean, it is, 10 a.m.? Yeah, it's really hot already. Are we going to go? We're going to work out later, probably, right? Radu says there's a great lunch place that we won't go to. What's the lunch place, Radu? What's the place that Andrew's supposed to go to?
I had a bunch of options for him. I hadn't picked one out.
Okay. Andrew, what are you in the mood to eat today? You will eat. The thing about Andrew is I've never seen him investigate a place to eat. He just will go wherever anyone tells him, and he'll literally just walk up to a place and grab. You have no discerning taste when it comes to food. No. You'll just take whatever life gives you.
The mushier the better, considering I have no teeth and a weak jaw and a scared throat. I only swallow on one side, the left side, strong side. And
So wherever we go, hopefully there'll be some mush. If we go to barbecue, bake.
Okay, so Andrew ate so much sushi last week. Like, he went to the same place over and over. And then we realized that sushi is his favorite food because it's already, like, chewed. It's like mush. Yeah, and he can just eat it. Like, mushy. Especially the what?
The imitation crab is already really chopped up. You can pretty much, it already does. It probably, you have to chew to put it back together.
Disgusting. I just can't believe that you choose foods that you don't have to chew. It's so sad to me. So, like, what's a food that you will never eat because you're too scared to chew it?
A hard steak, not a ribeye. What, a skirt steak? Fuck that. Ooh. But a filet all day. That's what I say.
But what's your, like, what's a food I could... Airheads? Okay.
Airheads, now-laters... what's jerky, not a fan unless it's really good soft jerk.
A soft jerk is probably what you're going to be doing later on in your hotel room in Houston at the Candlewood Suites. Go find him, ladies. 230 room 235 Candlewood Suites in the city center at Houston. Go knock on his door and leave a creepy message. I would love it. God, being a man, like, you just don't worry about giving out. Like, someone could murder you, but, like, no, who gives a shit about murdering a man? No one wants to. Women, we got to worry all the time. I just went to the bathroom at your... Radu hooked me up with a spot on a radio station that is in a building he works in. Is that correct, all of this information? It doesn't matter. But I went to the I wanted to go to the bathroom afterwards, and there was a key for the women's room, but only the women's room, not the men's room. Tell me why.
Because they've had a history of problems with creeps.
That's what they told Radu. And so Radu said what?
I was like, well, why did you guys not get rid of the creeps? And they were like, without... We just have to get rid of everybody, so it's just more efficient to put the creeps...
Let's put a lock on the door, because the creeps... Oh, this guy has a flat tire ahead of us. Oh, that sucks. That's real bad. Poor guy. Poor unmarked white van. Guys, we gotta go drive past this car that we're not gonna help in any way. And I'm gonna be in Houston all weekend, and I hope that you enjoyed the podcast this week. It was a wild one. It was from the road. A lot of it, you just saw different segments in the road experience. And we'll see you back here next week for the next episode of the U Up Podcast. A squirt, squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.